They said it one more time. These things don't come to defeat us. These things don't come to destroy us. These things don't come to discourage us. But these things come to disciple us. In other words, these things come to make us what God wants us to be. We can't do it on our own. You know that you wouldn't get on the cross by yourself. You know you wouldn't take yourself through a crucifixion. You know that you wouldn't correct yourself, because every man think he's right in his own heart. And so God sends trials. He sends people to take you through tests, to take you through all kind of persecution, so that you would be a disciple, so that you would grow, so that you can learn who he is. How would you know that he is Jehovah Jireh if you never had need of anything, that he'll provide it for you? How would you know that he is Jehovah Nissi, your banner, the one who fights for you, if you never had a battle that you've been in? How would you know that he's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth you, if you never ever been sick? And so God takes you through those things to teach you who he really is. He's not just your savior. He's not just your redeemer. But guess what? He's your friend that's sticking closer than any brother. I wish I had help here. He's El Shaddai, the Lord Almighty. We need to know who he is. Amen. We need to know that he is God, and he's many things to all of us. Amen. And so we need to be confident and know. That's why he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. It brings about patience. It produces patience. And you see, you got to understand that faith and patience go together. Because the 11th chapter of Hebrews, verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And so when you have faith, you got to hope and wait for it to come to pass. Amen. So when you have faith, you got to have time and patience for those things to substantiate, to bring substance in your life. Amen. But you got to have faith.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries in Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Bell Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Hampton, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Hampton, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised Word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 9. And the writer of the Hebrews is dealing with verses 5 through 8, a warning against those who rebel and fall away from God. And he picks up
in verse 9 by saying, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated. But we see Jesus. I want to remind us as brothers and sisters of the faith how it is important for us to have a personal experience and understanding not only of the Word of God, the will of God, and the way of God, but the witness of God. Amen. To be able to say for yourself, I see Jesus. Collectively, we see Jesus. There ought to be in the house of believers more than just one of us who see Jesus. It's important to understand when Paul dealt with a corporate setting, he was dealing with the believers who had had that experience, and certainly to inspire those who desire and would have that experience. But he knew that there were some who had already obtained that experience. And so he uses that we, just like he does in Romans 8:28, when he says, and we know that all things work together, etc. It's because he's got some witnesses. And my brothers and sisters, when we begin to think of our experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, and when we begin to understand how the writer of the Hebrews is trying to get the believers to understand that we have got to uphold the high standard of God, how we cannot be rebellious and turn away from God, how we cannot be with him today and against him tomorrow, how we cannot act as if we belong to God, but act like we are children of the enemy. We've got to be careful of the fact that we have a better covenant and a better witness, verses 1 through 4 shares with us. And so it's important to understand that what keeps us in line, what brings us back in focus, is the fact that we see Jesus. In other words, because we are human, there is a natural side that factors in everything we do. But because we belong to God, there is a spiritual side that factors in everything we do. And there must be a balance in order for us to live life to its highest standard while we are here on earth. And so, unlike those who rebel against him, about those who act like, and you know, one thing about church folk is church folk can show enough act. Church folk can pretend. Church folk can perform. Church folk are some of the best actors on planet Earth in church. But just watch them outside of church. Listen to their conversations outside of church. You'll discover that a whole lot of church folk are rebellious against the realities of God. But when you see Jesus for yourself, it don't matter what others are doing, you're accountable to God. You're accountable to the higher things of God. You walk circumspect because of who you are and whose you are and because of who you see. In other words, there is a scale on the inside of your spiritual man that balances you. When the devil pulls you one way and it's the wrong way, it's the dark way, it's the way that is of this world, you have another side pulling you the right way and sharing with you and showing you the light. And listen, it's all because of your personal relationship with Jesus. So when the word starts off, but we see Jesus, the writer is changing his focus from the rebellious to the righteous. And he's talking about the redemptive work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. And what's so wonderful about that is this one verse explains about Jesus, what he came here to do. And he says, but we see. This very word, see, in a deeper sense of the word, and one of the definitions is we discover. We experience Jesus. It literally means to see with the eyes of mind. We don't see Jesus with our natural eyes, our bodily eyes. Anybody who say they see Jesus like that is seeing the wrong Jesus. They're looking at Jesus. Y'all catch that on your way home. Because it's been over 2,000 some years that the real Jesus in the earth form and walked in this earth realm has been seen. So you can only see him in the spirit realm or in the eyes of the mind. And so when you see that, then you begin to understand, as he's showing us some important things about this, it's important to understand another way of saying this, but we discovered Jesus. We, through our eyes of our mind, see him the way God wants us to see him, the way his word reveals him. You see, you have got to get in the spiritual realm in order to experience spiritual things. You can't stay in this earthly frame of thinking and expect that you're going to get spiritual revelation. That's why it's important that we understand John 4:24 says God is a spirit. They that worship him must do it how? In spirit and in truth. And so therefore you got to understand the spiritual realities and the spiritual kingdom must be utilized and operated in the spirit of God. And so that's why many folk can't see Jesus, because they're looking for him with natural eyes. But we see Jesus. I'm going to come back there because I'm not through with that, but I want to move on just to help us a little further. It says, who was made a little lower than the angels. Now, one of the things that's important for us to understand that is if you see Jesus, then you have a better view and understanding of what he's talking about. Jesus, as the Son of God, is deity. Jesus, as Son of Man, is humanity. He had to let go of the deity in order to take on the humanity, because the deity couldn't suffer and die. So he had to let the deity go, leave it in heaven, come down in the earth form, take on human flesh, be born of a man so that he might be the Son of Man, live with sin yet without sinning, and be in his humanity so that he could beat Satan at his own game. He was made a little lower than the angels, given this earthly form, so that he could suffer and die. He suffered and died, but he sinned not. Listen at this now. Angels, did not sin. They did not die. They were spiritual beings. So God had to make him a little lower than angels so that he would have the human qualities of man. Now, listen at this. He was born of a virgin without the help of a man. But yet he came through the same operation of men born of the flesh. But it's important to understand God had to orchestrate it this way so that he would be as fleshly as you and I are, so much so that he would deal with everything you and I had and have and will deal with, so that he could touch and identify with our every situation, our every circumstance, our every trial, our every temptation. Everything that we deal with, Jesus knows all about it, and he is able to represent us because he can say, Father, been there, but I didn't do that. I know what they're dealing with. I know what they're feeling in the flesh. Don't think for one minute that Jesus was not subjected to everything that you've been subjected to. That's what makes him such a great high priest, who is able to identify with what you're going through. Listen, nobody knows the troubles I see. Nobody knows but Jesus. There's some things I've gone through you've not gone through. But there's nothing I've gone through he hadn't gone through. So when he was made a little lower than the angels, listen, so that he could suffer and die. So how do we see him? We see him by faith. We have to have faith in him to see him. We have to have faith in him to understand him. So we see Jesus by faith. Tell your neighbor, we see Jesus by faith. Listen, if you did not see him by faith, you didn't see him. I don't care who you are and what you say. If it's not by faith, you have not seen Jesus. This verse just gets through telling us he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. By faith, I believe that God sent him down. He took on the human flesh and he stepped in the place that was meant for me. And what he went through, he suffered a suffering that I could not suffer at the most and best of me. And that's why Paul kept saying, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings, because that's just something you learn about a person when you go through their sufferings. You find out what people are made of when they suffer. You find out how real their faith is when they suffer. You understand whether or not they're truly convicted and rooted and grounded when they suffer. And so by faith, I believe he suffered and died for me. And it's only by faith that I'm able to enter into this truth, because I wasn't there. So faith, I see him by faith. But the next part says, crown with what? Glory and honor. Now, listen at this. He's crowned with glory and honor because he suffered and died. Some of y'all didn't get that connection. He didn't get crowned with glory and honor till he suffered and died. This was a crown of glory and honor that none other could have, because none other could do what he did. And so God crowns him with glory and with honor. And so we see him, number two, when we focus our adoration on him. God adorned him with a crown of glory and honor. And I begin to see him now in a whole different light. Not as a crucified Lord only, but as a risen Savior. I begin to see him as Lord. He, the living Lord. I begin to see and understand him in a whole different light now. And because he's Lord of all, I understand that he is the resurrection and the life. I understand that what he said in his word, that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask the Father what he will, and he'll do it. Because of who Jesus is and my connection to him. Now, listen, how else do I see him? I see him first through faith. I see him secondly by focusing on his adoration, on his adornment of God, crowning him with glory and with honor as that of only one man. None other could be crowned with glory and honor like Jesus. None other could God have spoken, commissioned to do what Jesus did. None other had the privilege of being able to be the Savior of mankind. None other could be the only begotten of the Father and then be the Son of Man. And so he's crowned with glory and honor. Listen, you can't help but give him his due when you see him. When you see what he went through on Calvary and then 3 days later, when you see him as he is and see him as he was and see him as he shall be. Listen, you can't help but rejoice. Can't help but praise him. Can't help but give him glory. Can't help but honor him, because he is Lord alone. How else do I see him? I see him through faith. I see him through focus, but I also see him through fellowship. How do I do that? Because the Bible says that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You see, the fact that Jesus died on Calvary's cross for whosoever will. The fact that Jesus died not only for the Jew, but for the Gentile, for the sinner, for every man whose heart beat with red blood flowing through it. Jesus Christ died for all. For every man. There is no one group of people who can own Jesus as their own exclusively, because when he went to his own received him not. Thus, the invitation was extended to whosoever will. And so as a result now, it's a part of my acceptance of the Lord Jesus Christ and believing in him that brings me to the place where now I have fellowship with him through his sufferings and through the fact that he's paid a price for me that I could not pay for myself. The reason why he tasted death, and that word taste also means experience. The reason he did it was because death wasn't the only thing he had for me. He had to experience death for me so I could also experience what he had after death, and that was resurrection. So he had to experience death. And not only after he died, he had to get up to become the first fruits of them that slept so that when I die, I too can be raised from the dead. So that means now, because I have relationship with him and have fellowship with him, I don't die when I die. I sleep. That's why when Jesus went to folk like Jairus' daughter and they were talking about she was dead, Jesus said, "No, the damsel is just sleep." When he delayed his coming back to Lazarus and didn't hurry, he told the disciples, "Listen, Lazarus is sleep." But the disciples said, "Well, if he's sleeping, he does well." Jesus said, "Let me help you understand. By your standards, he's dead. But by my standards, he's asleep. The reason I know he's asleep is because when I get there, I'm going to wake him." Come on here, somebody. I'm glad. That one day when you get the news that John Montgomery is dead, I want you to say the devil is a liar. He's just asleep because Jesus has already promised me that he would wake me up and I'll be more alive at that time than I am right now. Come on, give him a shout of glory, somebody. That's all. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Give the Lord a hand of praise. No matter what you're going through, if you can just see Jesus, if you can just put your focus on Jesus, no matter what you're dealing with, if you could just see Jesus, you will see that he overcame everything that the enemy put before him. If you could just see Jesus, you will see that he's a conqueror and that you are more than a conqueror. If you could just see Jesus, you'll see he's a winner. And because you have fellowship with him, you're a winner also. If you could just see Jesus, whatever problem you may have will be minute in the face and presence of a mighty God. It'll be so small that it doesn't even matter when you see Jesus. How many times have you been depressed, been down and out, and your eyes were filled with tears, and somewhere in the midst of all of that cry, your spirit man caused you to look at Jesus. And all you could feel the spiritual hand wiping away your tears, bringing joy to your heart. And you couldn't put your finger on it, but you knew, you had a feeling that everything was going to be all right. So I'm trying to tell somebody, if you can just see Jesus, whatever trouble, whatever problem, whatever sickness, whatever situation you're dealing with, will bow before his presence.